Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The following podcast is going to contain spoilers, along with me, just a regular guy, talking about all the things I love, such as comics, movies, television, music, and books. So yeah, proceed at your own risk. Welcome to another episode of Just Another Fanboy. I'm your host, Steven, and today I'm talking about a six-issue series from 2014 out of Boom Comics, and it's called Six Gun Gorilla. This was written by Simon Spurrier with art by Jeff Stokely. Now, the other night I was in kind of a Western type of mood. I had been reading some comics, and I thought, I feel like reading a Western comic or six. And so I went to Comixology Unlimited just to see what was available. And the nice thing about Comixology is you can go to the website, you can search by genre. So I searched by Western, and then you can filter it to show what is available on Comixology Unlimited, what series are available. But while it'll tell you that a certain series is available on Comixology Unlimited, every issue in that series may not be available. For example, it may be a six-issue series and only the first issue is available. Or it may be a series that's been going on for 3 years and maybe just the first trade or the first six issues are available in Comixology Unlimited. So I went through and I found a few things and I saved them to my queue. And I find this book titled Six Gun Gorilla. And right away, my interest is freaking peaked. A gorilla with six guns, not like six different guns. That's what they called a revolver back in the old West, was a six gun, because having a revolver, now this is just my theory. This is why I assume that they call it a six gun. But up until that point, you had a gun and you had to load it every time you shot it, but you get a revolver and it's like having six guns in one. That's my theory. I feel like that's accurate. So I see the title, Six Gun Gorilla. I see the cover with a gorilla on it holding a pair of six shooters. And right away, I am, as the British would say, bloody interested. But at the same time, I'm also kind of groaning inwardly because I've had this idea for a long time that I've been slowly trying to flesh out in my head. I've never written anything down other than the title, but I've had this idea called Gunslinger Chimp, and it was going to be set on a world with anthropomorphic animal people, and it was like the old West, and your main character, your the man with no name type of character would be a chimpanzee, like from Planet of the Apes, and he was a gunslinger. So Gunslinger Chimp, that was the idea. That's as far as I'd gone with it. So, of course, I see Six Gun Gorilla, and I'm like, crap, now I can't do it. And that's, you know, that's your first reaction, and then you have to tell yourself, why can't you still do it? Big deal, Six Gun Gorilla. It's so what? There are no original stories out there anymore, or I should say there's no original ideas, really. It's what you do with your idea. It's the story that you tell with your idea that makes it original. If you weren't allowed to make stories based on an idea that somebody else may have had, then you can no longer tell the story about the farm boy who is destined to save the world, because that's been done over and over and over again. So anyway, I get this book and I start reading it. And I'll be honest with you, now that I'm done with it, I'm not quite sure how I feel about it. Let me tell you the story, and then I'll talk about my feelings toward it. So this is set in I guess, a futuristic version of our world. We have discovered another world. I believe it's in another dimension. They call it the blister. And people have colonized it. People have colonized it. You go through this little rift or this jump, and they've colonized this world. And the thing about the blister is electronics don't work there, and you can't do combustion. Combustion's not a thing. So you can't have cars or light, electricity, anything like that. And you can't have guns or explosives because none of that works there. So the colonists at one point, they feel they're being treated unfair and they rebel. And so when we come into the story, we're meeting this character that we just know as Blue. That's what you end up knowing this guy as. There's a whole bunch of soldiers basically going through the rift or whatever it is. They're going to the blister to fight in this war that's been going on forever. And some of these soldiers are called hole heads. They call them hole heads. They have something that has gone on in their life. They might be a criminal that has a death sentence. They just might be suicidal. And so they're volunteering to basically be cannon fodder in a battle. And they have an implant in them so that through their brain waves, anything that they see is projected to screens back on our world. And that's what kind of the society revolves around. That's the TV people watch. It's all these suicidal soldiers that go into battle and this violent war. And that's all people do. They watch it, and the television company or the company that that puts this all together, they make all kinds of money through advertisers. And so this guy, Blue, he's one of these hole heads. He was a librarian. He had fallen in love. She broke up with him, and he decided he wanted to die, and this is how he's going to do it. Well, in the first battle, he is separated from everybody. There's a retreat. Everybody takes off. He's left out there all by himself. And he comes across one of their generals who gives him this watch. It's like a pocket watch. The general is dying. And he says, this is a pocket watch that my wife gave me. It means a lot to us. Please take it home and give it back to her. Or at least give it to somebody who can take it back home and give it to my wife. So he tries to make his way back to the soldiers, his people, and he's waylaid by bandits. Now, these are folks that are on neither side. They're just bandits, and they want his watch. And they do carry guns. They have these weird, pneumatic guns, and he tries to fire his gun at him, and it doesn't work. And then something just rushes in and starts killing all these people. And it's this gorilla, and he has these two guns that appear to be actual guns that shoot real bullets, explosive bullets, which shouldn't happen in this world. And they get to talking afterwards, and this gorilla tells him that he was a genetic experiment created by the government. They were trying to create these gorilla super soldiers, and they abandoned the program and killed all of them, but he managed to escape, and now he's living out there. And the guns he created, there's something about them that allows them, something the way he created them allows them to be able to work on this world. So the people back home, the government and the I'll just call them the TV studio, they see that he's got this watch. There's something apparently more to the watch than that we know. There's something secret about this watch, and they need to get it back before everybody discovers what's going on with this watch. And in the meantime, they don't want to cut the feed because he's got that thing in his head so people can see what he's seeing. They don't want to cut the feed because suddenly there's a freaking talking gorilla there with a pair of revolvers, and people are just eating that up. They're just selling all these ads and making all this money, and the people are just loving it. But they got to get this watch back, and they got to do it without, tipping off the public that there's something weird with this watch. And so they send this weird, crazy alien, freaking four-armed assassin guy with a Cockney accent into the blister to get him back. And there's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of, there's a lot of gun battles with this freaking gorilla who wears a kind of a serape type thing. And he's got a pair of six shooters. And as the story progresses, you find out that the rebels and the government have actually been working together this whole time. The entire war for all these years has been manufactured. People are really dying. People are really suffering. But the war has been manufactured to sell advertising on this brainwave TV station that they use. And this, of course, comes out and it starts, I guess, some kind of revolution at the end of the book. That all happens at the end. But you also find out, this is the part that I'm kind of confused on. It's like the gorilla was a figment of Blue's imagination, but there's something about this world, this blister, that allows these figments of his imagination to become true. And it's because as a librarian, it's like everybody in the world, they don't read books anymore. Their only form of entertainment is what they see through these whole heads, brainwave patterns when they're watching the war. That's their entertainment, period. That's it. They don't read books anymore. They don't really have much of an imagination anymore, but he's really into, you know, he worked at this library that closed down because nobody reads books anymore. But he would catalog all this stuff and he would read all these stories. And so a lot of the stuff that was happening was coming from his imagination, which was kind of cool, but yet kind of weird at the same time. Now, again, by the time I finished the story, I wasn't quite sure how I felt about it. I will tell you that as I was reading it, I got it through Comixology Unlimited, like on a Monday evening. And by the end of the evening, Tuesday, I had it finished, all six issues. I couldn't stop reading it. I was hooked. And a lot of books I've been getting recently, I'll get from Comixology Unlimited, I'll read a few pages, and then I just won't go back, and I end up not reading at all and returning the book. But this one, I read all six issues in two evenings. Whatever time I had free, I was reading this book. So I enjoyed it enough to keep reading it. But now that it's over, it's like, yeah, I guess it was okay. And I had a couple of problems with the book. First of all was the art. The art was, it was kind of quirky and stylized. And I think in a lot of places it really worked and it really added a lot of nuance to the story. But in other places, it just looked like the guy wasn't even trying. It's like some pages were just, what, this is just great. This is just great stuff. And then some pages were like, did you do this in your sleep? I don't know this guy. I don't know that I've ever read anything else that he's ever done. I don't want to disparage anything that he's done, but I just felt like certain pages just weren't as good as the other pages. And it took me out of it. The only other thing that really kind of took me out of the book was there was so much swearing in the book, which doesn't bother me, but they didn't actually put the swear words in there. They used like the ampersands and the pound sign and stuff like that for the swearing. So it's like they were censoring the swearing, but there was so much of it that it's like listening to a frickin' hip hop song on the radio that is so full of swear words and offensive language that every other word in the frickin' song is taken out. So it's like listening to a hip hop song. That's like, yeah. And then it went knife down the street, car. You know, it's like, I don't even understand what's going on because I can't hear half of what you're saying because you're censoring it. And so I had to, it's like you're reading this book and every time you came to a swear word, you had to kind of invent what swear word was there. And it really took me out of the book. I would have much rather they just either no cussing, very few cussing, or not censor it. Just put the words in there because it really took me out of the book every single time. It's like every other word, if not every word balloon, every other word balloon had at least one swear word in it that was censored. And you had to try to determine it. Just, I shouldn't have to stop and try to translate what's there. I should just be able to read it. And yet I couldn't put the book down. So I'm really conflicted on this book. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it's there on Comixology Unlimited. If you've got it, go give it a look. Tell me what you think. Give me your thoughts on it because I think I would recommend it to people because it is like a good sci-fi Western. If you're looking for a good sci-fi Western, quirky, weird Western type of story, this is it. But there's a couple of things in it, like I said, that took me out of the story. And it was a few pages of the art and it was all of the censored swearing that just, after a while, it just, I just shook my head. It's like, what's the point? What's the point of basically it's like the backbone of their language centered around swearing. What was the point of doing that if you're just going to censor all the words? That's the part that I found confusing. I don't know if that was like the Boom Studios maybe said, hey, you can't have all this swearing in here, or if the writer did that on purpose to try to point, you know, they were trying to make a point. I don't know, but it became not difficult to read, but it added a level of difficulty to the reading. It made the reading was no longer effortless. You had to kind of work at it. And I didn't like that at all. I don't like to review books in a negative light. And again, I did enjoy the story, but just a couple of things jerked me out of it. So that's my episode for the day. Six Gun Gorilla. It's available on Comixology Unlimited. If you have read it, if you liked it or didn't like it, if you've read it or you're going to read it or you read it later, I really would like to hear your thoughts on the book, because I gave you mine. You know, give me yours. I showed you my thoughts. You show me your thoughts. Until then, my name's Steven, and I'm just another fanboy. Be nice to each other. Just Another Fanboy is a presentation of the Steven or Else podcast. Questions and comments can be directed to feedback@stevenorelse.com. You can support the show for as little as a dollar a month at patreon.com/StephenROr and get instant access to the My Other Podcast, a weekly show about whatever crawls its way into my tiny little mind just moments before I tap record. You can find me on the World Wide Web at StephenOrElse.com or find me on Twitter and Instagram by searching for @StephenOrElse. I also encourage you to subscribe to the show, leave us a 5-star review, and share this episode with a friend. Just Another Fanboy is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network. You can find that over at comicspodcasts.com. All links will be in the show notes.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.